Hey, welcome to a new episode of B2B Marketing Done Right. Today, we're going to talk about how to make impact when you just started out in a new marketing role or in a new company. Today's guest is Eva Akintoye. She's the head of marketing at VantagePoint, and she's going to share all the ins and outs about how she built a successful marketing program, essentially from the ground up when she started at the company a few years back. I'm excited for this one, so let's dive right in. Eva, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
To set the scene for this conversation, Eva, can you tell us a little bit about VantagePoint and your role there?
So VantagePoint, we're a global consultancy. We essentially go into finance teams and help them work better and more efficiently using kind of technology, transformation, and advisory. So we've got many offerings and services. My role is a head of marketing at VantagePoint, and I kind of oversee all of our marketing, brand, and comms throughout the different regions that we operate in.
Nice, lovely. And I'm excited to talk about today's topic because whether you are early in your marketing career or whether you're like a senior marketing person already later in your career, we all come across new roles, new companies from time to time. And today we're going to talk about how to make an impact when you just started in a new role or in a new company. So when you started at the company in July 2021, I mean, you mentioned that the company didn't do a lot of marketing, right? So you essentially had a blank slate, which is kind of the dream for any marketer, I would say. What were the first key pieces of information or data that analyzed or searched for within the new company to help you formulate your initial marketing strategies?
Like you said, it was a bit of a blank slate for me as a marketing professional, which was exciting, but also quite terrifying and intimidating. When I started, we had an amazing group of people in sales who were kind of just doing the best that they could in terms of lead gen and just trying the best they could to help the company kind of raise awareness. And we also worked with a marketing agency that were kind of doing the best that they could as well. But there was no kind of foundation built for marketing or branding or anything. So that was where I came in. I kind of just looked at everything from an outsider's point of view. For me, marketing in general is very emotive. So I tried to see if I could evoke any emotion from everything that was already out there about the company. And I really, really, really struggled. You know, I think B2B marketing is challenging enough, right? Because we're very rarely marketing anything that kind of is, I don't know, sexy or, or, you know, exciting. So we have to really get that those creative juices going. But, you know, it's also a big commitment that people are making when they sign on the dotted line with us. So they really have to be able to see and visualize who it is that they're working with and the company's values and see that they could fit in with them. We didn't have that at all in the beginning. So that was something that I was keen to kind of implement into the beginning strategy, just making sure that we actually had some kind of a story. I also just went about talking to people, just talking a lot, lots of different people within the company. And one thing that I did realize is that we have so many amazing experts within the company, you know, highly intelligent experts. And those are the people that the customers want to know about because they're going to be working with them. But those stories were not told. So kind of went about implementing those into our brand strategy as well. I mean, I can probably go on and on about some of the other things I gathered, but I think just so that
go
I don't
ahead.
Go on forever. I just kind of looked at the funnel, went back to basics, and then kind of plugged all of the different content pieces that we had and all of the different lead gen pieces that we had throughout the funnel just to see what we already had, where the gaps were missing, what we could be doing more of. And that really helped me to formulate building those initial foundations for the brand that we now have that I'm very proud of.
Yeah, I love that. When you start from scratch, there are almost an infinite amount of potential directions that you go that you could go in. I'm curious here, how did you prioritize which marketing initiatives you were going to tackle first?
For me, I guess it was the things that were kind of those really quick wins and quite quick to execute. I think that's an obvious answer. Prioritize those, get those done. I think marketing is really difficult to get buy-in. You know, some people are skeptical. They don't really understand this long-winded journey that this marketing person wants to take. So I think as soon as people can start to see those incremental changes, the better that you can start really continuing to get more buy-in. So I think those quick, easy things that you can implement, get those done straight away. So I think that's kind of how I prioritized. And then those bigger things that probably need a lot of input from lots of other people, you can continue to work on those in the background. And obviously, once people are starting to see the changes, they're starting to see that, you know, your awareness is spreading and you're getting more leads are coming through. And, you know, the company is just looking more mature and more like a, you know, the kind of company they'd be proud to work at and work with. Again, that's when you can start getting all, they're building those bigger, making those bigger changes. So I think that's, to me, that was just the easiest way to prioritize because obviously there was only me and the agency. So we had to make sure that we did the best we could with the resource that we had.
Can you name a few examples of those short-term actions that you focused on first?
A lot of them would be kind of those little brand things. So I guess tone of voice, which is something that we didn't have. And I think that that's super, super important if you are going to be speaking to people that you want to come and work with you. A writing style guide and making sure there was consistency throughout everything that we put out. A social proof. We didn't really have very much social proof in terms of videos and just content, really quick, easy content. So yeah, just making sure that we had some of those kind of in the pipeline. Pretty much within my first few months, we made sure that we had a hero video for Vantage Point. Because I think, I don't know if you remember, I said that when I first started doing my research, there was no emotion coming from what I was seeing out there. I couldn't visualize the people behind this. It was very kind of robotic. We then had this amazing video which really showed people that these are people that mean business. These are people that you will work with. Implemented that. That was pretty quick, as long as we've got good video people to come in and do that. Making sure that we looked like a mature company from the outside. So headshots for everyone, really good, strong business-like headshots that everyone could kind of put plaster everywhere. They could use in those kind of client calls and presentations, pop on LinkedIn. It was basically putting the window dressing on the company to ensure that we were elevating ourselves. And some of those things are really quick. And I guess for some people, it might be like, huh, is that really necessary?
Yeah.
But if you're really up against some of those bigger competitors within the business, you really need to make yourself look serious. And it's those small things that can help.
Love that. And I'm also curious because you mentioned Vantage Point was already a growing business before you started out there. So there are a lot of other consultancies, I think, that don't even have like a marketing department. They just rely on the networks, the business networks of the consultants that are working there and build their book of business from there. What was the reason for the company to say like, hey, we actually want to invest in marketing proactively?
I think it's great that Vantage Point is the kind of company that really values marketing, because you're right, not many people, even at the stage yet, I guess, where they can start thinking about implementing a marketing function. But the commercial side of Vantage Point is very, very important to the company. And we're really a very unique company whereby sales and marketing within the commercial team work very closely together and work very well together. So because of they had that commercial lens on, they knew that marketing would be an important part of their growth stage. So they knew that it was time to bring someone in to actually start growing that marketing team as they continue to scale into all the different regions and different service offerings and et cetera, et cetera. So I think it was just having that commercial lens, which is a great way for a business to operate, that the Vantage Point has, was how they realized that marketing was a pivotal part of their growth stage. And I think that's fantastic. I would say we've definitely made an impact.
Yeah, great stuff. So especially when you start a marketing function from scratch, marketing only works well when you have that buy-in from various teams within the company, right? So curious to hear, how did you foster that collaboration with other departments to get that buy-in and alignment for the marketing initiatives that you were rolling out?
And buying from the leadership team is always a win. Making sure you've got those people on your side is really listening to their pain points. And from there, as time goes on and they start to see those changes and they start to see those quick wins, they will automatically start to kind of tell your story for you and tell the rest of the company your story for you. And I think it's always making sure that marketing is visible. So I really try to do my best to make sure that we had, and I mean, we're still not perfect at this, but I definitely want to do more of this, but making sure that we have marketing updates within our weekly company calls, or making sure that we've got stats, or that we're showing some of the new client testimonials that we've just done that we never had before. You know, all of those really amazing, shiny changes that are really elevating the look and feel of our company, just communicating those regularly to the rest of the company, and slowly people start to buy into your story. I also just talk a lot to everyone. So I think also making sure I'm in all of those conversations, or I'm really just networking within the company and just getting marketing's name out there. When you come into a company, essentially the role of a new marketeer in a company is to market marketing to the rest of the company as well. It's a bit of a PR job that you have to do internally.
Yeah. And it's a good one because especially in bigger companies, there tends to be so many silos, especially between marketing and sales operations, et cetera. So I think it's a valid point that marketers need to be proactively building those relationships, not only with the sales team, not only with the operations team, but also definitely with leadership. In your case, you already have that advantage because you're in the leadership team. Mm-hmm. But it's the only way to build a function where the entire company supports the marketing function, right? I also can imagine that there will always be people within the company that either don't understand the actual value of marketing or simply are too busy to actually contribute in a meaningful way that would help your initiatives to move forward. So also curious to hear, how are you going about working with those kind of people?
Yeah, I think you're definitely always going to have those people. I think for me, I'm a massive advocate when it comes to employee advocacy and thought leadership. In B2B marketing, it's so important because people are buying your expertise. We have to get that expertise out there. And our advocates and our thought leaders, that's a fantastic way of doing it. So you really do need those people to get on the journey so that you can, really make their expertise visible. So I guess what I've done is I've just gotten my team to implement an employee advocacy network. So we've identified the people that we know it comes natural to them. They're happy to spread the word. They're happy to get their expertise out there. They're happy to kind of get some of our messages out there if they can. It's something that they know that they can do. We've identified those people. Those are the easy people. But as you said, there's those ones that perhaps are not that bought in, or perhaps it doesn't come naturally to them. A lot of people, I think as marketing professionals, we forget that it comes naturally to us to spread the word and talk and do what we need to do. But some people, it's out of their comfort zone. So what I did in the beginning was it is a very, very slow burner. I started by just spoon feeding people. So for example, it could be as small as we've got this webinar that's going out. We need as many people to kind of really amplify that message as possible. And I just kind of would maybe directly message them with a really small, easy caption that I've already written for them and just explain to them, if you could just help me share this, these are the steps you could go to, et cetera, et cetera. So sometimes it could just be as little as that. I've also, over the past few years I've been there, I've kind of implemented LinkedIn workshops for people that I know really could use that extra guidance when it comes to amplifying our messages and just being a thought leader and getting out there and taking them through really, really small incremental steps that they can do just to get that confidence. But I think those are really the small things that you can do. For a lot of people, you need to give them everything they need and make it super easy for them so that they think, okay, actually, this isn't so bad. And also, make sure that you're communicating the wins to them. From everything that they've done, say, look, from all of that kind of advocacy that we got with this webinar, this is how many leads that came in just based off of the organic posts that we had from our team internally, or based off of this activity, we got this many leads and that led to this discovery call that was booked, which led to a customer. Make sure you're really communicating those wins, because honestly, if they don't see those wins or they don't see some of the results, a lot of people, that's the way that they're led, results driven, then it's just a bit like, well, what's the point of this? And I think when you're working with people like the ones that I'm working with, like consultants, they really want to understand the point of what it is that they're doing and why they're doing it and what the end result is.
When you started essentially from scratch building the marketing function, as you just mentioned, having those early wins is essential to build momentum, also to make marketing visible internally. I'm really curious to hear, how did you go about setting up a measurement framework, identifying the metrics that you would report on, and what is currently the philosophy behind such a measurement structure?
Yeah, I think I mentioned when we had our initial conversation, we're very much in the early stages of our performance marketing piece and really measuring. I spent a lot of my time at Vantage Point at the beginning building the foundations of everything that we needed to actually have a function. Got a bigger team. We're now at the stage where I really want to start measuring the attributions and what's coming in via the marketing activities, et cetera, et cetera. So currently, I'm keeping it very simple. We are building a dashboard that really tells us absolutely every journey that our leads have taken. So from that initial touch point, from whichever marketing activity that we've put out there, from the initial touch point to that MQL, which we absolutely love in marketing, and we love to look at those MQLs and see those numbers going up. We're measuring it very, very simple. So I think for anyone in marketing, what I'm about to say is super, super simple, but at least it gives us something to stand up in front of the team and say, look, this is the journey that this customer took, and it actually came from that webinar that marketing put out, or that lead magnet, or that blog piece that we put out, or the white paper, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, we've just got a very simple dashboard at the moment, which basically maps out all of our marketing touch points. It will then tell us which one of those have generated a certain amount of marketing qualified leads. Out of those marketing qualified leads, we're taking them through the flow, and we're measuring which one of those have then become the sales qualified leads, which our sales team can work their magic with and do what they need to do to kind of speak to them and book them in. Our dashboard will then map out which one of those sales qualified leads have turned into actual calls booked, and so on and so forth, until hopefully they are turned into a paying customer. So that's actually where we're at the moment. There are lots of things in the background that we're tweaking and working to make sure that this dashboard runs absolutely smoothly. But at the end of each year, I want to be able to stand up in front of the team and literally report, this is, because we know that a lot of the things that we've done in the past has generated us business, but it's been very, very messily communicated, I would say. We've never properly looked at the measurement. So that's the next piece of our growing marketing function puzzle. It's making sure that our measurement is top notch and our data is top notch, because our data is what will help us inform every single thing that we do from the beginning of the year. The budget decisions that we make, the strategy, which offerings and service lines we need to be concentrating more on. So that's the stage that we're at, and it's super exciting. I'm sure any marketing professional listening to this will get excited as well for me.
Exactly. It's exciting, but it's also challenging, right? What would you say is the biggest challenge?
I think the biggest challenge is just making the data relies on absolutely everyone in the company inputting certain things correctly. So that means that certain behaviors are going to have to change, and it means that the sales team are going to have to adhere any new processes that we've put in place to ensure that our data is top notch. So the challenge is the people. It's always going to be the people. It's just getting them to change their behaviors, or explaining that actually the system that we're using at the moment, you're going to have to start inputting your deals in differently than you used to, or you're going to have to start measuring this, or making sure that absolutely everything is documented so that it goes through our dashboard correctly. So I think it's always just bringing people in and saying, you're going to have to do things to help marketing that probably you're not used to. And also just getting it off the ground. Like I said, there's a lot of things in the background. I think it's a bigger job than we realize, just making sure that we've got this measurement piece in place. And I've got the most amazing team working on it. My marketing team are fantastic. I'm really, really proud of them. But I think it's like every time you start a job, sometimes you find new problems spring up. So it's kind of a bigger job than we realize, but we will have that performance marketing piece nailed soon, we hope.
Yeah. Let's talk about sales and marketing alignment, because on LinkedIn, I mean, there's an ever-going debate about sales and marketing alignment, whatnot, the do's, the don'ts, the good, the bad, the ugly. How did you go about building that relationship with the sales team when you started out? What were the key learnings there?
So for me, I think it was just understanding that the sales team are the fountain of knowledge. They are the source of all of the information. They're speaking to our personas live every day. You know, they understand their growing pain points. They understand what's trending and what's going on in the industry. They understand what some of our kind of target markets are thinking about at the moment. So it was respecting that they have all of that information and really building enough relationship to have that rapport with them, and really understanding that, like I said, their job is super, super important, just as important as mine. I'm also a massive advocate when it comes to building relationships outside of the office. So I spent a lot of time with sales when I started, especially because I was on my own in marketing. I didn't really have a team, so they were kind of an extension of my team. So I leaned on them a lot, like I said, just for help and resource, but also just made sure that I was building a personal relationship with them. I believe in the power of relationships in the workplace, and I think it's definitely helped because we work together. But I think ordinarily you need to have people at the top that will champion and encourage a good alignment with sales and marketing. You know, and I had our commercial director when I came in that I was working very closely with. He's always championed that marketing and sales should work closely together. So we always had that person that was kind of like the influencer, leading by example. And I think that's definitely what you need in your company. You need people leading by example, people at the top that will, you know, understand that this is an important relationship to keep. But yeah, respect each other's roles, and I think is a definitely good foundation for the good relationship with sales and marketing.
Yeah, I love that. Hey, so we've looked at the marketing activities to drive new business for the company, right? But of course, in terms of marketing, there's another important part, which is the employer brand, which was completely non-existent when you joined. So, and I know that you've put a lot of focus into that as well. And as a result, the company has been able to scale really fast, thereby hiring top talent globally. So can you tell us how you approached building the employer brand from scratch?
So the employer brand is definitely something that can be overlooked a lot, I realize. When a company is scaling, I think a lot of people forget about that people piece. In order for you to scale and become a company, a growing company in all the different regions and the company that you really want to be, you need to employ good experts. And I guess when you're so new, and you don't have anything that's communicating that your company is a place that you know, that they should come and join, then that's always going to be a very challenging thing for you to do. You know, especially if you're the kind of company that really has high expectations about the kinds of people that you bring in. So for me, it was very, very similar. It was a very, very similar kind of line of work that I took with the corporate brand. It was telling those stories. For our company, we're up against some of the big names. And so some of the people that come into the industry that want to come and, you know, rise through the ranks will probably automatically go to those bigger names, or they're already at the bigger names. And we have to try and show them that we're a viable alternative, just like we would for the customers that we're trying to attract. So It was very, very similar. It was building that social proof, bringing those stories out. We've got so many stories within our company of people that have actually come from those bigger names and they've done some amazing things at the company. So it's making those visible. I think the big thing that I'm really passionate about when I'm communicating our kind of employer brand piece or any employer brand piece is scrapping the stock images. People will see through that. The stock imagery really puts anyone off when they're at the application stage.
Jesus Christ. Even on LinkedIn, right? I just can't stand to see another stock image on a LinkedIn company page. I'm done.
Yeah, I know. And no one really, I mean, what feeling are you getting from that when you're seeing a stock image? And so scrapped all of that. And I was always very, very passionate about us not using any anymore. So we got a photographer in. I put together a photo library, which we now have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of photos in. And that's photos from all of the professional photography of actual people within our company. So that people can visualize themselves at the company.
Nice.
But also making sure that you've got pictures from all of the culture points, you know, all of the, I don't know, the football games that you're playing or the game nights or socials, yeah, and the things that you go on, company trips, just making sure that you've always got content for those things. Nowadays, people want more than a job. They're not just applying for a job. They're applying for a whole experience. They're applying for the culture, your values. All of that stuff needs to be brought out and it needs to be made visible. So it's really communicating the kind of place that people can visualize themselves working at. And that's all that we did. We just brought all of that that we already had. We made it visible and we brought it out. And it's nice to see because it gets mentioned now in interviews all the time. People genuinely notice. And I've had a few people in interviews that have said, I noticed the actual real images of people within the company on your website and they weren't stock images. So people notice.
Yeah. Yeah, nice one. And for the employer branding, would you use different distribution channels than you would with your regular marketing?
The only different social media platforms that I would use for employer brand are TikTok and Instagram, because for me, those are the platforms that really, for me, are the best place to show off your culture. Try to build a little community on those purely for people that go on there.
Yeah.
When they're just doing a bit of digging, they're in the awareness stage, they're thinking about perhaps applying, but they want to visualize the culture.
Yeah, love that. Hey, let's talk about marketing team for a second, because currently you have a marketing team of 4 people. How did you go about building that team from scratch and how did you assess what you needed in terms of capabilities that you were looking for?
I'm a real big believer in that to be a good leader, you have to be aware of the fact that you're not good at everything. It's impossible to be good at everything. If you really want an amazing team and you want to be an amazing leader, bring the people in that are good at what they do. As long as you have the basic knowledge of the stuff, that's fine, some of the bits, but you're not going to be good at every single part of marketing if you're a marketing professional. You should know it, but you're probably not going to be the best. So for me, it's definitely identifying some of those gaps that we had, first of all. That was the first start. Understanding the amount of headcount that we had sign off for in the beginning was useful. And then identifying some of those gaps. So I knew where I really needed some stronger skills. You know, some of those lead gen pieces that I've talked about a lot, I definitely needed some people in that would really take those and run with it. And we needed some strength behind our lead gen. I also knew that we're in our growth stage. We're continuing to scale. We're really constantly wanting to mature our brand. So it was time to get a graphic designer in as well. An internal graphic designer is a game changer. I mean, from the outside, the comments that I get from people are that I thought your marketing team were bigger just from looking at the stuff that you put out. That's amazing. So yeah, I think the first thing is identifying the gaps, understanding where your weaknesses are, because, you know, as a head of marketing or marketing director or someone, anyone that's a leader in whichever field, you're not going to be an absolute expert at every single touch point. So identifying where those gaps are and then plugging those gaps with some experts that you can bring in.
Yeah. So in terms of the next 6 to 12 months, what kind of capabilities are you looking to get in that you don't have yet?
I think that it's really, really important that we have marketing presence in the different regions that we're really trying to kind of strengthen our awareness in and really drive leads.
Yeah. And that will be like the US or different regions?
Yeah, so the US, APAC as well is another one that we're growing in. And I think it's, you know, a global marketing team is really difficult of when it's just a tiny team.
Yeah.
But you do need some presence in all of those different regions, people on the ground that can really understand the nuances of the audiences that we're speaking to, the culture, some of those little kind of things that maybe the US audience would prefer and the UK or the EMEA audience wouldn't, to operate in the relevant time zones. It's the obvious thing. We need people that operate in the relevant time zones. And we are increasingly doing a lot in all of those different regions. And it would be good if we could just spread out our marketing resource in all of those different regions. And I would love to just have, I guess, more lead gen people as well. We are very much commercially aware within our company, and I love that. And I think that I want to continue to strengthen the way that we're measuring and bringing in those leads. So yeah, I'd probably like to have some more lead gen people.
When you say lead gen people, can you specify that? I mean, is that someone that is more of a performance marketer coordinating LinkedIn ads and drive leads from that? Or is it someone who would coordinate webinars, for instance, to generate leads from that? Well, what does that look like?
For me, it's someone that's absolutely every single thing, their bread and butter is looking at how we are going to be the marketing activities that will be driving more leads. So everything from, we do a lot of webinars, so making sure that every webinar that we do is, you know, they're tweaking and they're looking at all of the measurements and they're making sure that we're looking at how we're going to do the next one better. They're looking at the paid ads. Basically, anything that's lead related, any activity that's lead related, that would be the sole purpose. At the moment in our team, the reason our team is so powerful and so small is that we're all generalist marketers. So we do a little bit of everything, which I think is fantastic. So I'd love to divide the team up whereby people are just concentrating on their section. And they're concentrating on it very well.
Yeah, that makes sense. Final question for now. I mean, looking back at this entire experience, starting a marketing function from scratch and also starting an employer brand from scratch, what have been your biggest learnings? What advice would you give to other marketing leaders who are about to start in a new role or in a new company?
That is a good question. I think, like I said before, make sure you have some of those influential people on your side. If you're on your own, especially, it's going to be really difficult to communicate that this big journey that you're trying to take this whole company on your own. So make sure you have some of those influential people on your side. Don't be afraid to make mistakes, because that's going to happen. I don't think I'd change anything if I were to go back, because we've learned a lot from it, all of those kind of mistakes or challenges that we've come up against. And I think start identifying your advocates as well really early, because as a small marketing team, or maybe a team of one, if you're starting out as a team of one, you're going to need as many people to be as independent when it comes to communicating the company's offering as you can. You can't do everything. So start employing those advocates, the people that are passionate about comms, apart from their day job, obviously, as a side, people that are passionate about helping you bring that company's journey, make it visible and showing people. Start identifying those people, the people that you know are the ones that want to talk about you more. And they will definitely help kind of when you've got like a lack of resource, I think. So my advice is all people focused. Make sure you've got enough people in your corner to really kind of get the job done.
And build those internal relationships, as you said earlier, right? I think that's also a big one. Really stepping away from your marketing island and, yeah, building those relationships with sales, operations, consultants, you name it.
100%. And I really like that, what you've just said about step away from your marketing island, because it can feel like that, especially when you're building something on your own. But just, I think, as always, just remember, you're never on your own. You know, if you're in a company that's got a support network, then really lean on that, use them, really build those relationships, because those relationships will become pivotal in any single thing that you want to do and any kind of new marketing piece of the puzzle for your strategy that you want to implement. So just bring those people on that journey with you.
Love that. Great stuff. Aoife, thanks so much for your time and for sharing all these great insights. Appreciate your time.
Not a problem.
Cheers.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this episode of B2B Marketing Done Right. I hope you got some valuable insights out of it. And if there's a specific topic that you would like me to cover on this podcast, just send me a message on LinkedIn. I would love to hear from you there. See you next week. Cheers.